Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. This is the broadcast for October the 27th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is indeed hour two of two, and the goal always to promote God, family, and country, to protect life, liberty, and property, to do so using the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America, to reject revolution, to stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, and to use the checks and balances our founding fathers gave us to restore the republic. Wow, have we got a row to hoe. Welcome to the broadcast. Last hour, we had the Honest Money Report with Brian Rust. RustCoinAndGift.com doing a phenomenal job as always. We talked about J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon, hints of war. That's worse than the recession, he says. Well, he says politics, but when you dig into it, he talks about all these countries and the possibility of a war sparking conflict, if you will. Chris Licht, CNN, hey, man, we got to lay everybody off. We're melting down. Meta bracing for trouble as their profits just tank. Ford Motor Company tanking, admitting self-driving cars ain't real. They lied. Sorry. Spent a bunch of money, lost it all on it. We talked about the inverted yield curve. They claim just shows that a recession is coming. They love to use the term slump, though. We're in a slump there. Is a financial reset coming in 2023, we ask? I don't know. Bill introduced into Congress announcing a gold standard return. We got to have it. H.R. 9157 is what it is, baby. I'm telling you, it's called the gold. Let's see. It's called the Gold Standard Restoration Act. And boy, howdy, do we need that, man. It's sponsored by U.S. Rep. Alex Mooney. I don't even know much about this guy from Virginia, but you know what? Good for him. He talks about in the list of legislative findings how much we've really lost. Okay, since 1913, ladies and gentlemen, understand, since 1913, we've lost 97% of the value of our dollar. Since 2000, we've already lost 30% of our dollar. And every 35 years, we lose 50%. Folks, we are melting down at a rapid rate. But I guess if you've already melted down to only 3% of the value, hey, it'll take 35 years and it'll only be 1.5%. I'll be dead by then. So, you know, there you go. Because look, 35 years, I'd be what? I'm 55 now, 50, 65, 75, 85. I'd be 90. Man, I'm not going to be living until 90 years old, I don't think, ladies and gentlemen. And if so, I won't be on your radio, I doubt, right? But emphasizing the need for a stable dollar, ladies and gentlemen, they point out fixed exchange rates. We need to have the market determine money, not your government, not the Federal Reserve. Ultimately, Congress must completely abolish the Federal Reserve. However, H.R. 9157 is a great step in the right direction. Amen to that. Now, the Oakland Police Department of California, those thugs want to arm robots with shotguns. They're absolutely off their rock crazy. Why do they want to arm robots and disarm the people? I mean, what are we thinking in the Republic, ladies and gentlemen? But I digress. All right, let's see. Oh, there's so much to talk about, so little time. At the top of the hour news, I wanted to mention this. It was a news soundbite talking about, Elon Musk and his internet. What's that thing called, Cameron? It's called Starlink. And Starlink now has normally had fixed dishes being able to receive internet. Now they're adding internet capabilities for yachts and airlines and all kinds of things, which I find phenomenal. It's really expensive. But, you know, if you're on a yacht and you can provide internet to all these people, hopefully it'll decrease the cost and increase stability. When you're on a cruise, you'll have better internet. Whenever I've been on a cruise, the internet's not very good. And when I go into airlines, you know, the internet's not very good either. They have it, but it's expensive and it's not very good. Hopefully this will change that game. And, you know, since Cameron is so wealthy, I just thought he could put one of those dudes on top of his RV and check it out for me. Let me know how it goes, man. Anyway, pretty cool stuff, though. There are things that are real, folks. Then there's things that are hoaxes. It looks like Starlink is real. Internally, we've had some people testing it. And it is pretty cool. Now, we don't have the mobile version that's expensive as all get out. We just have the mere mortal version that average businesses or people could really afford and use. Nevertheless, it's very impressive, folks. Let's be clear about that. It's very impressive indeed what they've managed to accomplish. All right, I also wanted to mention this interesting news tidbit, if you will. It was at the bottom of the hour news or the top of the hour news? I think bottom of the hour news last hour. And it was very interesting because I've told you folks for decades. Everybody says, Sam, how many listeners do you have? And I say, I don't know. And they say, what do you mean you don't know? You know, Nielsen and all the radio stations know how many listeners they have. They have books that come out every quarter that tell them. And especially in the digital world, Sam, it can count listeners and viewers and all that streaming. You can count how many streams. And I said, no, you can't. It isn't true. They're lying to you. It isn't right. They fudge the numbers. They play games. And then everybody kind of thinks that I don't know enough about tech. And so they think, well, Sam's just not really caught up on, you know, everybody else knows, but Sam doesn't. Sam's not caught up. And then I kind of just laugh at him and go, you know what? You guys don't know. You think you know and you think you're right, but you don't know. And I do know. Why? Because I'm a tech guy. Why? Because I'm a radio and TV guy. Why? Because I've been in this streaming gig forever. Since it got on the internet, I was one of the first people to stream, folks. Okay? I know about this. And I used to own a radio station, so I used to be able to dig into those Nielsen baloney ratings and all this other garbage, Arbitron, and all these people who claim they have the numbers. And everybody said, oh, no, Sam, you just don't know. Well, now there's a big debate that literally puts it in your face and proves to you that I'm right and they don't know. Two of the biggest companies in the world, now Nielsen Ratings, who have been literally have, for the most part, a monopoly on this for decades, used to be Arbitron, now Nielsen, right? And Amazon, the big upsetter, Jeff Bezos and crew, they're debating the numbers. So how does Sam not know and everybody else knows if Nielsen and Amazon are widely differing on the numbers they're reporting? This all relates to football, too. So let's take all the politics out of it and prove they don't know. Here's the bottom of the hour news report.
So how many eyeballs are on the gridiron these days?
If you ask the Nielsen Company, 7.8 million people watched last Thursday's football game between New Orleans and Arizona, most of them streaming it on Arizona Prime. But if you ask Amazon, they'll tell you 8.9 million were actually watching. For each game this fall, Amazon has publicly contradicted Nielsen, which has monopolized the business of estimating audience size of people watching programs for decades. The dispute has implications for the future as advertising becomes a bigger part of streaming and technology improves.
Amazon contradicts Nielsen. They are way far apart. How much are they? A million plus people apart, Cameron? Right? What do you think that means? They're over a million apart. We're only talking about 7 or 8 million, 9 million people. So they're like a million and a half apart. How much is that? I mean, it's more than 10% different, right? And now they say Nielsen builds cloud native data reporting platform. Why are they doing that? Right? Because they know that they're not right. So the headline says, Amazon Prime sparred over who really watches football. So Nielsen and Amazon are fighting over this. Right? Now there's another week that they compared this, and one said, yeah, the next or previous weeks are in different articles, they say. Nielsen predicts and Amazon predicts, and now they say 10 million versus 12 million in this article. Right? So what does all that even mean now, folks, when these guys are just sparring about this now? Does it mean that I didn't know and that they do know? So here's the next question. Are they either of them right is the real question that you got to ask. If Nielsen says they have a number and they know, and Amazon says, no, we have a number and we know, Who do you think really knows, Cameron? Well, so we don't know if either one of them are right. What if I say this? They're counting dogs. Because a lot of times people leave the TV on and then they take off and go out to dinner and the game's on and the dog's there. And they're streaming to a dog. Right, Cameron? And see, so they're counting a dog is watching. You know, the pit bull watches the game. That's one of them 10 or 12 million or some odd number of people we're talking about. Now it streams. They count one stream that comes into your house. Let's say they really are watching the game and they brought a bunch of guys over to watch the game and there's 10 dudes in there. Couple of girls in the kitchen helping out there. Now, see how racist and misogynistic I get and everything like that. And so they're all watching the game. And so how many do you count then? One stream, 10 dudes, couple wives are over there, girlfriends, two or three or four girls or whatever. And they're serving the food and hanging out with the boys. So there's 14 people, but some are watching, some aren't. The dog's over there laying down. Cat's up there perched on the whatever. And how many people are watching then, Cameron? Hey, help me out with that. There's one stream. There's 10 dudes. There's a dog. There's a cat. There's a few women in the kitchen or running in and out and stuff like that. How many people are watching, Cameron? If you go by Amazon, it's 43. If you go by Nielsen, it's 30. If you go by me, it might be 5 or 6 because half the guys are talking and looking at something else on their phone and laughing about a joke. And another dude just went to the restroom and... shall I keep going? Oh, one dude ran out for beer. He's not even here. Okay, hang tight. Hard-hitting talk on your radio. I am Sam Bushman.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey? Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. So I say they don't know how many people are listening. And I say that, you know what, they don't have evidence. They don't have facts. They're like, no, listen, we have people write down in this book every 15 minutes what they're listening to. That was the old school stuff. Then they said, no, that's not accurate enough. So we got to go get the the portable people meters is what they called those things. What are those things called? The PPM, the portable people meters there. And the portable people meters, those are more accurate than them paper journals people used to fill out, because they can monitor you. Now they're saying, well, the portable people meters don't really work, because what happens when a stream happens and, somebody watches it without commercials the day later. They're kind of got to broaden the spectrum to a week or two to see who's watching. And, well, we don't know if it's live or not. What does live mean? Is it live if I watch it live? Is it live if I start it a half hour later? But because I've got it DVR'd, is that a term anymore? I've got it recorded there, and I'm watching it a half hour late, and I'm kind of skipping the commercials and catching up. Is that live? It's not really live. It's kind of time shifted there. And do they count? How do you know how many people are watching? Well, Sam, we don't know how many people are watching. We just count TVs. Oh, do you now? Do you? Well, how many TVs do I got in my house then, smarts? Well, some of them are not even hooked up there because they're used for computer monitors and such like that. Do they count? See, how do you know? You don't know, and you pretend you know, and you lie. And when you dig in, it's kind of like how they do, voter, whatever they call it, vote. What's that thing called when you come out of the voting booth and then they kind of try to count you or say how many people or whatever? What's that called? Anyway, they guesstimate how many people are voting or whatever. And they don't even know. Now, let's take American Idol or let's take The Voice or one of these other, you know, shows. They say vote. You can vote for your favorite artist up to 10 times there. So now do they count the votes and determine how many people are watching? Do they count the TVs? Do they count how many people are really watching and paying attention? See, they want to use this for advertising, ladies and gentlemen. But how many of us skip the ads, Cameron? How many of us, the second an ad comes on, it's like time to get a drink, time to go to the restroom, time to follow up with my wife and make sure she got home okay, or, you know, time to let my wife know that I'm leaving now, is how many people are really paying attention? And how many people are watching football or watching some of these other shows versus how many people are paying attention to the commercials is a whole different matter. But when Sam Bushman goes off right in the middle of his commentary and tells you that, hey, man, RushCoinandGift.com has your back when it comes to constitutional currency, baby, gold and silver, the Honest Money Report, go to Brian. You got a friend in the coin business, RushCoinandGift.com. Back to the topic of Nielsen ratings. Now, that commercial counts, baby. That's a whole lot different than, hey, we'll be right back. And everybody walks away and we'll all be right back, won't we? How many people are watching now? And they do this with the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl, for example, is one of the top garnering dollars. You know, they sell $7 million 30-second commercials for that sucker, right? Well, folks, I'm here to tell you right now how many people are watching the Super Bowl. Well, it all depends on how you define watching. They're there. They're eating chip and dip. They're joking with their cousins or teasing their girlfriend or, hanging out with family. And people are off making the dips and chips and wings. And they walk in, hey, what's the score? Oh, man, our people are down. Oh, that sucks. Then all of a sudden someone's in the kitchen getting some more food or doing this or that. And everybody around the TV screams. And so you run and go, what's up? Oh, man, they just literally threw the ball the whole length of the field and scored a touchdown. It was incredible. And then they, you know, now, did that person watch that just ran in and heard about it? Are they watching the game? What about the other guys that missed it but turned around just in time? What about, okay, and you go through all this stuff and you say, well, Sam, they don't claim they have exact numbers. They all know that it's great estimations. But you know what? Their guesstimations are very good. They're like extremely accurate, Sam. And my response is, okay, then tell me how Nielsen and Amazon can be so far off. One claims in this one example from CBS News that I have, and other examples, one said 10 million watched, the other said 12 million watched. Folks, what kind of a spread is that? 2 million off? So if I take that 10 million example that I just gave you relating to football, what if you apply that to the Super Bowl? If they're 2 million different on 10 million times that times 10, they're like 20 million plus off. And that's if everybody's really watching. And that's if, okay, they don't know. They don't know. You say, Sam, how many people are listening to you? I don't know. And I tell you that straight out, I don't know. You say, Sam, well, can't you count? No, I can't. Let me tell you why. There's people that listen to me from universities and other places. And I don't know behind their firewall if they're distributing my broadcast. They could download it once and listen to it 1,000 times in their university and pass it around. And one of the people that I know even admitted to me they use some of the information for training in their classrooms. So now you download my one file and you say one person downloaded it, right, Sam? Yeah, but then this professor used it and they maybe shared it with 300 students? You say, yes, Sam, but they only shared part of it with those 300 students. I know, I get it. So do you count them as watchers or listeners or viewers or not? Well, no, Sam, they're analyzers. Okay, the only one that really listened was the professor to find out, right? And to point out the content. Okay, but see, we're going down a rabbit hole, folks. They don't know. And I challenge any of you, Nielsen, Amazon, Big Wig from CNN, Joe Blow from Fox, Redneck from whatever, Clear Channel, so-and-so from whatever music service you want, iHeartRadio, I'll take on every one of you people. And I'll prove to you that you don't even know. You want me to tell you how I can prove it to you? Not only did I highlight the debate between Amazon and Nielsen on this, but remember all them fake users that Facebook and YouTube and all these groups have? Twitter, and they literally kicked off literally millions and millions of people and shut them down. Why don't y'all drag out your data and tell me if they were included in your viewers and listeners and watchers and clickers and whatever you want to call them, viewers and what do they call them when you just see something, impressions and all these different breakdown terms they use to try to define their metrics. I'm going to challenge you and say, were all those fake users that were, quote, Russian bots on the internet, Chinese bots, and now Elon Musk is battling with Twitter saying, hey, you've got probably a third less users than you claim. And they're like, no, we don't. It's only 20% or whatever they're claiming. And, okay, were all those people watching and listening before to your, quote, primetime TV and your mainstream press reports? And if the answer is yes, then you were totally deceived and totally wrong, right? Yeah, that's right, Sam. I hate to admit it, but you're right. No, they'll lie and manipulate and say, well, no, Sam, that. But the bottom line is, hey, what about all those Facebook and Twitter users and Instagram users and YouTube users that you claimed you had and you didn't really know and you really didn't, right? And that's if the numbers are honest, but they just missed the boat. What if they have back-end algorithms that cheat? Then it's even worse than I'm claiming, right? Well, yeah, Sam, how can you prove your numbers to me then? Because you know what? You guys are manipulating things, right? See, that's the problem. They're sparring over this, but I've been at this for 25 plus years digging into these numbers, proving these things, right? How do we know the ratings are right? Well, how many fake Facebook users are there? Were those people watching? No, Sam, this is cable TV. We have more accurate information on cable TV there. Yeah, what does Comcast say? Well, they've got real numbers over there at Comcast. See? Oh, yeah? Well, now, for example, The Voice is on Peacock. Does Peacock have better streaming numbers than Hulu before them? Right? Do all these people have? What about when these companies put together numbers and people challenged them and they had to renege? Right? Look up Facebook real numbers for me on the Google there, ladies and gentlemen, when you get a minute. Do you trust Google? Are they going to give you the real numbers? See, you can trust Google, by golly. Right? Real number profiles. Did you know that you can even view the profiles of people named real number? Do they count? Hey, I'm real number 98. There, real number. Yeah. Facebook numbers. Live numbers. Mirrored numbers. Fake phone numbers. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, they're feeding you full of baloney if they tell you they know the numbers. They don't, and I'm a tech guy, and I can prove it. There's lawsuits about this. Did you know that? All right, Pete Seppin Seconds, you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A bridge under construction in Kansas collapsed Wednesday afternoon in Clay County, killing an unidentified man. The Clay County Sheriff's Office said the bridge spans Carroll Creek. That's about a 2.5-hour drive west of Kansas City. PIO Sarah Boyd said four people were trapped when the structure failed. Three of them were able to free themselves with minor injuries. The Chinese government has been accused of establishing at least two undeclared police stations in the Netherlands. Dutch media found the evidence and believe they are being used to try to silence Chinese dissidents in Europe. A spokesman for the Dutch Foreign Ministry said the existence of the unofficial police stations is illegal. After a trial filled with interruptions, madness, and confusion, Milwaukee resident Daryl Brooks was found guilty of six counts of first-degree intentional homicide after crashing his SUV into a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin, just about a year ago. In all, he intentionally hit 68 people and has once again shown soft-on-crime DAs are the problem. Brooks was free on bail days before the attack, accused of using his SUV to run over the mother of his child. She fortunately survived. In the high-profile race for New York State governor, polls indicate that interim Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul and Republican challenger Representative Lee Zeldin are locked in a very close contest that will be determined in less than 2 weeks. Representative Zeldin on Fox News says the issue of crime in New York and soft-on-crime DAs are on New Yorkers' minds.
So if you want to secure our streets, if you want to take back our streets, you have to get rid of these pro-criminal governors and have balance returned to state legislators like ours. We need to suspend cashless bail and these other pro-criminal laws. And the first thing that I will do, the first day that I am in office, is telling the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg that he is being removed.
USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
All right, our guest is here. Our guest is here, so we're going to switch gears, but I got one more point to make on this, ladies and gentlemen. So there's this big battle between Nielsen ratings and Amazon, and they're debating on how many viewers they have for football. And I've told you that they don't know how many listeners they have, and they pretend they do, but they lie. And I've been telling people this for literally 30 years now almost, that you know what, they don't know how many numbers they have, and they're not telling you the truth when they claim they know. So the Los Angeles Times wrote an article, so you guys can find this. I always document what I say, so I want to just prove it really quick, then our guest. Facebook's massive fake numbers problem is the headline. Facebook's massive fake numbers problem. It was in the Los Angeles Times, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know where it came from. And they talk about how Facebook's own estimates suggest duplicate accounts represent approximately 11% of monthly active users, while fake versions make up another 5%. Others claim the numbers are much higher, but 11% and 5% is already what? 16% there? That's a huge number, folks. So the social network, they say, has 2.5 billion monthly active members, but almost 400 million of them are bogus. Are those the ones that are supposedly not watching or watching football? How do you know? See, I'm telling you, folks, they don't even know, and they're clueless, and I'm proving it to you with their own information and the mainstream press. Just thought I'd share that with you for fun. All right, Pete Sepp with us. They're playing games with TAC numbers too, huh, Pete?
Oh, yes, indeed they are.
All right, let's talk about it there. Where do we go from here? It's right before the elections. What's being claimed and what's real?
Well, of course, there are a lot of claims out there, and especially with today's news that there was large economic growth in the most recently concluded quarter of the year, that somehow the so-called Inflation Reduction Act and the tax increases contained in that bill, as well as other Biden administration policies, are somehow contributing to an economic recovery. Well, of course, one quarter of economic data certainly does not constitute a recovery. And the opinion of most economists is unchanged that we are headed towards some kind of recession in the next several quarters, probably by middle of next year. There are others who say we're already actually in a sort of recession, even though the GDP numbers look good last quarter. There are other signs that we have a slumped housing market. Inflation remains untamed. Interest rates are rising, which means not only are individuals and companies paying more to borrow money, so is the federal government, putting taxpayers on the hook. So there are a lot of troubling signs on the horizon. And certainly to say that tax increases that were recently enacted in August are having either no effect or a good effect on the economy, that's probably the biggest lie of all.
Say the biggest lie of all again. I want to repeat that.
That tax increases enacted in August are either having no impact or a beneficial impact on the economy. No way. No way.
They're having a serious negative impact. You combine those with inflation, you've got a recipe for recession if we're not very, very careful, Pete.
Yes, that's right. You know, back in the days of President Gerry Ford, there was a slogan, and they had it on little buttons that they were giving out to folks. WIN, Whip Inflation Now. That was the acronym. Well, we were actually around as an organization back during Gerry Ford's term, and National Taxpayers Union came out with its own button, LOSE. Let's oppose stupid expenditures. And I can tell you, even close to 50 years later, that still makes a lot of sense in an inflationary environment. The federal government needs to stop spending so much money. That is contributing to inflation. It's contributing to upward pressure on taxes. It's certainly contributing to more borrowing, which is getting more expensive because of higher interest rates.
Do you think there's any way that we can get them to mellow out on the spending? It almost seems like it doesn't matter who's the train engineer. They simply lose their minds, Pete.
Well, it is difficult, but I think we have a couple of opportunities coming up. For one, the expiration of the so-called debt ceiling, the statutory ceiling that Congress has to enact every so often to affirm the amount of borrowing that we're engaging in. That will be an opportunity for us to say, look, we have to put the brakes on federal spending so that in the future we stop borrowing so much and stop having to debate this debt ceiling. Another opportunity, in early 2023, the so-called PAYGO caps come into effect. These were statutory caps on certain parts of federal spending that were enacted and were never repealed a good 12 years ago now. And those could very well be able to put the brakes on maybe $120, even $150 billion worth of excess federal spending. Now, that's not huge given a $4 trillion plus federal budget every year, but it's a start.
No doubt we need to start. We need to start somewhere. And I don't like the partisan divide. I don't like the blame game, Pete. I like people that are really working on solutions. And sadly, for some reason, there's a lot of people working on solutions from both sides of the aisle, but the mainstream doesn't make folks aware of that. I think that's a real travesty, sir.
Yes, it certainly is. And we try to do our part, actually, with what we call our annual no-brainers list. We take 10 bills that have bipartisan pedigree, Democrats and Republicans as sponsors and supporters, and say, what are fiscal policy issues that at least both parties, a few members of both parties, agree on that we might be able to push through Congress right now? And actually, we had more than 10 that we could have chosen. We simply chose the top 10. There are plenty. One, the Whistleblower Protection Improvement Act. Well, we need more whistleblowers in government saying, hey, wait a minute, you're not following the law, you're wasting money. We need to do something about it. We need to protect these folks who speak out. We also have, of course, the National Emergencies Act reform. That's a bill that would say that the president has limited powers to spend significant taxpayer funds without the approval of Congress. Imagine, for example, if we had that kind of law in place before Joe Biden essentially wrote off 400 odd billion and climbing in student loan debt. We would be having a much different discussion now. Instead, we have hundreds of billions more added to the national debt with an executive order by the president. There are lawsuits out there on a constitutional basis saying the president can't do that. But if we had this NEA reform bill already in place as a law, there would be no doubt that the president had zero authority to do what he did.
It's hard to know where to go because there's a disconnect between what's really happening and all the things you're talking about and the American people. The American people aren't aware of any of this, Pete.
Yeah, it's very difficult because mainstream media doesn't really cover actual legislation or important issues affecting people anymore. They always focus on the horse race or the boxing match or whatever contest analogy you want to use. It's always about the personalities involved rather than the policies involved. And we really have to focus more on policy. Otherwise, this country is in serious trouble. It already is, and it's going to get to the point of no return very soon if we don't get smarter about fiscal policy.
And I know what they might say is they might say, listen, that stuff's boring. It doesn't get ratings. It's, you know, people will turn us off. I understand that, but I think it all depends a lot on how you pitch it, though. You don't have to get into super uber detail. All you've got to say is, look, this bill would give an opportunity for whatever. I think that you could frame it in a way that people would like it. If you can boil it down to some simple reality checks like you've done, if you can convert people to understanding and getting involved, hey, tell your congressman to work on this or that, or it could be done very simply. It used to be done very simply that way. You don't have to get into all the complicated battles back and forth, but you can highlight things that people could actually work on. I believe people would feel more empowered and they'd feel more less disenfranchised, if you will. I think there's a great place to go here if we do it.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. And here's one issue that's hitting pretty close to home that we'll discuss on the other side of the break. It's called 1099-K, and a lot of people need to start caring about it real quick.
We'll do it with Pete Sepp. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, and we're talking about the National Taxpayers Union, partnering with folks for tax reform all around the world and at your local level as well. NTU.org in seconds.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Pete Sepp with me, president of National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. We're talking about a lot of things being done that the American people don't know about. Derelict media, dereliction in their duty is part of the problem. Look, we can make these simple. We can make these things easy to understand where people can actually feel empowered by getting involved, Pete.
Yes, indeed. And one way they can get involved is to take a look at the federal level at our no-brainers list. It's an annual list of legislation we put out that have bipartisan sponsorship and support in both chambers of Congress that could be passed and could be sent to the president's desk if the legislative session and legislative leadership would simply permit it. These are all important issues to taxpayers. They may not be world-breaking, world-shaking issues, but they're places to start. And that's one of the most important things you and I always discuss on this show, Sam. We always want to climb the tallest mountain first and try to solve the entire problem of the national debt or a convoluted tax system or a government that's grown out of its constitutional bounds. That's never the way that the left has worked in this country. They do it gradually, bit by bit, and over the course of 50 years or more, have seriously endangered our constitutional system of government and our liberties. We need to actually take a page from that playbook and take our values, our principles, our constitutional government back bit by bit.
Let me tell you what it's called, ladies and gentlemen. It's called the NTU's 12th annual. We're on the 12th one, right?
12th, yes.
12th one. They've been doing this for 12 years, folks. It's called the No-Brainers List. And then it talks about the top 10 bipartisan bills for taxpayers in 2022. This is critical, folks, because you can get 10 bills that have been highlighted to say, look, this is not partisan. This sets aside parties. This focuses on real people doing real things, Pete.
Yes. Yes. And it doesn't get any more real than bills around this 1099-K issue. I'll explain it before people get too bored about it. Pay attention because this will be coming to a mailbox near you. I can almost guarantee it. The American Rescue Plan Act, one of the Biden administration's initiatives, created a new reporting requirement for transactions like casual sales or gig economy workers and the like. It used to be that you had to have $20,000 in 200 transactions before you had to start issuing these 1099 tax forms all the time. Well, now, thanks to the ARPA, you can have a liability to either send or receive one of these new tax forms for just $600 and one transaction. The problem is that snags all kinds of people in the IRS's web of tax reporting. You could, for example, be a student who decides to resell their textbooks after the semester is over online. Cost of textbooks is pretty high these days. You could easily surpass $600 for your textbooks. Suppose you drove for one of the ride-sharing services only very casually for a couple of weeks out of the year just to make ends meet. you could very well exceed that threshold. This is a whole new level of tax and information reporting to the IRS that millions, even tens of millions of citizens are going to be facing starting January 1st of next year, unless Congress says, wait a minute, this is a mistake. This is giving too much power to the Internal Revenue Service. We need to claw this back before we give that power away and we find ourselves in a world of hurt. There are several bills by Democrats and Republicans that would do just that, that would restore taxpayer privacy and the limits on reporting. Maggie Hassan, Democrat of New Hampshire, Chris Pappas, Democrat of New Hampshire. You've got a Republican, Carol Miller of West Virginia, Rick Scott of Florida, Bill Hagerty of Tennessee, Michelle Steele of California. They're all proposing legislation. They're talking to each other about it. It's time for Congress to stop talking and start doing.
Amen to that. And if you want to go to NTU.org, ladies and gentlemen, that's where you can learn about these top 10 bills. That's where you can learn about how you can get involved. That's where you can learn about their partnerships on a national level, all the way down to a state level or even your local county levels. NTU can be your partner. They provide tremendous think tank research. They provide numbers. They double down and analyze proposals to find out the benefits of them or not, if you will. They do so many things. It's amazing what they really focus on. They give congressional scorecards based on, whether they're a tax-friendly or a tax, I don't know what you want to call it, hostile Congress member or Senate member, if you will. They really break it down in a meaningful way from a tax perspective. The idea is, you know what, taxes are necessary. We all get it. But we need to make them streamlined and effective and appropriate and simple. We don't need to make them burdens on the people. And there's a way to do both. And that's really the point. It's not partisan. It's not 100% anti-tax. It's not. It's just common sense saying, hey, we can all work together here to improve our situation at every level. And we can protect ourselves. We can fund the proper role of limited constitutional government. And we can do it without fanfare and without politics. That's really the bottom line, right, Pete?
It absolutely is. And you can see this at the local level as well, Sam. There are plenty of local taxpayer organizations that are making a difference every day, small dollar amounts compared to the national budget or the overall economy. But the differences are important not only in the quality of life and the financial well-being of the citizens in the community. They set examples for other communities and other citizens to follow. That's one of the things that National Taxpayers Union does, is connect citizens between communities and say, hey, you know, about 50 miles away from you, these citizens formed a budget committee and they found, for example, that the local water department was wasting money on parts that it didn't need for its system. Here in your town, you have the same system. Maybe you ought to be taking a look at your own water department's budget. Those are the kinds of connections we can make as a network of taxpayer activists that can make a real difference across the country.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's why we've been partnering with Pete Sepp and the crew over at NTU for more than 25 years, because they're real. They're based on solutions. They're not into partisan politics. They're not into the games. They're into real solutions that make a difference every day for folks like you and me, real taxpayers. Now, while we're working on the real solutions, we're the heavy lifting behind the scenes oftentimes is what I call it. I don't know if you know, but Biden's Build Back Better, they just broke ground on a $20 million heated sidewalk for the homeless. Did you see this, Pete?
A heated sidewalk, huh? Okay. It does not surprise me. I had heard about it. I've not actually looked at the details, but it does not surprise me. And it's very worrisome, not only on the metaphysical level of, wouldn't you rather want to have them sheltered than sitting out on a heated sidewalk? What about the practical aspects? Government is not very good at building infrastructure anymore. My guess is that the price tag of something like this is going to go way higher than what's advertised.
Yeah, when they break ground for $20 million, they'll get done. It'll be $36 million a day late, and Well, I wouldn't say a dollar short, a dollar way too heavy, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The problem is Trump would build it for less, maybe. I don't know. But very strange how they want to not really deal with things that could change the game, but they love to either, one, promote and or attack this kind of thing. No offense, I'm not against the sidewalk, but I'm not for it either. What I'm saying to you is, why are we even talking about it? Why are we even funding it? We need to talk about the government's authority to fund such things in the first place.
Yeah, especially from the federal level. I mean, that's genuinely a local responsibility, and it was a local responsibility up until several decades ago when the federal government's power gradually encroached upon the states and localities. We've talked about this a lot. Many states, and I would say many of them under Republican leadership, decided to take the federal government's offer of candy. And by that, I mean a federal aid. The fact is, hey, lower your speed limit. We'll give you more highway aid. Take care of more people with these health clinics in the way we want you to, and we'll give you more aid. Decide to give grants to the homeless for sidewalks, and we'll give you infrastructure money. That is a bargain that is not always and not often actually in the interest of state or local taxpayers. I know this for a fact in my own county, where we're building a huge light rail system. And one of the first arguments in favor of it is, well, we're getting federal matching grants for it. Yes, but if we decided not to take the federal money, we wouldn't be spending the state and local money either, would we? And that point seems to be lost on folks. Why in the world would you want to burden your own taxpayers just to get more money from Washington? But that's what governments are doing around the country.
By the way, just so everybody knows, Waters and Fox News is the ones talking about the heated sidewalk discussion or whatever. And, you know, when you look at this kind of stuff, it is just shocking. It's just like, what on earth are we doing? And I'm not here to take either sides on the issue. What I'm here to do is just say, look, we have got to start to look at spending in a very critical situation. If we don't, I'm telling you right now, in short order, we're going to be forced into things that we will not be able to control, Pete.
Yes, that's right. And there's this old saying, deficits and debts don't matter at all until suddenly, spectacularly, they do. And the problem is, we don't know when that point of mattering is reached. You just cannot tell in a country's finances exactly when investors lose confidence, citizens lose confidence, banks lose confidence, and suddenly there's no more money to lend and the government is broke. I mean, you can make a guess.
What we do know is, internationally, though, there are countries that have lost confidence and they're starting to use other currencies for oil and other transactions. We know that, I don't know what you want to call it, fleeing from the ship, so to speak, internationally, has already started, and it's already having an impact. How quick it'll be and how devastating it will be is what we don't know.
That's right. That's right. We should make no mistake. We don't know exactly where the tipping point is, but it is starting to tip. And we are losing. We are running out of chances. We used to think we had an infinite number of chances to right this ship. We are running out of them, and we need to act.
My dear Americans, please partner with Pete Sepp, president of the National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. They're not a typical union like forced fees or any of that kind of stuff. They're a union, meaning we the people united to say we want appropriate taxation, fine, but we want to make sure that it is appropriate, that it is reasonable and needful and appropriate, clear, transparent, accountable, all those things. That's what we're all about. NTU.org. Thank you, Pete.
My pleasure.
All right, we'll talk to Pete soon, and God save the Republic of the United States of America.